Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
WGN, Dane Neal in Allstate Showcase Studio in for Dean Richards until 1 o'clock today, as Dean has official duties related to the Pride Parade, multi-float duties, and here holding down the fort, talking a number of different subjects. Of course, we just had Dick Van Dyke on, and if we get some updates on how people can get out there and see him or participate, we'll definitely share those with you as well. But in studio, real estate is one of the things. It's kind of a leading indicator into what's going on with the economy. The economy since 2009, 2008 has been, you know, I think front and center as far as some of the concerns for the country, certainly economically. And, you know, in different areas have gotten hit in different ways. You know, we heard all those stories about in Arizona or Las Vegas, just entire neighborhoods of completely deserted areas. We, of course, didn't experience that here. But, you know, as the economy hopefully starts to come back in a little bit, and we hear on the news that real estate is coming back as well, Chicago is lagging behind. And in studio with us, we've got real estate reporter for Crane Chicago, the one and only Dennis Rock. And Dennis, welcome to WJ. Welcome back. You're here all the time.
I live here now.
Thanks.
It's great to have you. So, As the rest of the country kind of, at least on the real estate side, you know, in the home building, we get these little blurbs from the news reports. So this is up, this is down, or home starts, or how does it all affect Chicago? Does it? And what makes Chicago unique in what's happening here?
You know, what's going on here is we continue to be the least recovered of major markets, or the slowest recovering of major markets in America. But we're seeing some positive signs in the last couple of months. Sales of homes have been up dramatically, both in April and May, which are the most recent figures we've got. Huge numbers of sales, prices up as well. So we're starting to, we're about a year to 2 years behind the national average on recovery. That's what a couple of the real estate economists have said. One of the reasons is we started to recover like everybody in 2013, when the recovery was primarily fueled by the desire to recover, the pent-up demand. But then when the recovery began to be change fuel over to job growth, that's when we lagged behind, because we are not growing jobs at the rate of other places. The places that are really going crazy are the Texas, Portland, that sort of thing, where job growth has been huge, Silicon Valley, where job growth has been huge. We haven't been. So we've lagged. And for many months, we've been the slowest of the major markets.
So it's the employment situation where people just don't feel comfortable, or maybe they're not in a position to be able to get the loan, because it seemed like, you know, everything collapsed and then nothing was worth anything. And so then, but even if you wanted to buy the things that weren't, you know, that were a really great bargain, nobody could get any loans.
Yeah.
And now it's to the point where, you know, the loans are starting to come back. There's some avenues there on the credit side. But like the inventory, you know, is down a little bit as well. But you see, it's basically because, you know, we haven't seen that job growth here that kind of makes it like a good thing to do, where people think and they feel safe. Let's go get a house.
We're the only state that touches the Great Lakes that lost jobs in 2015. Everybody else was growing jobs, not only the states that touch the Great Lakes, but in our region, we're the only state that lost jobs. And to go back to, you mentioned inventory. One of the things that's going on that's really dictating a lot of the character of the market this year is that inventory is super tight. And we could talk for about 20 minutes about why it's tight, but the basic reasons are I can't really afford to sell my house because the price still hasn't recovered fully.
Gotcha.
Or several other reasons. And so inventory has been so tight that if you're out there shopping, especially in the hot neighborhoods, the affluent neighborhoods where everybody remained gainfully employed throughout the downturn, you're probably in a bidding war. You might be paying more than the asking price. But those are really, they're basically the city lakefront, not the suburban lakefront, the city lakefront and a couple neighborhoods in, like Irving Park, Logan Square, just off the lakefront. If you're in the suburbs, those feel like the lakefront. Those places have recovered really well. Those places have a super fast-moving real estate market. But as you get out into the suburbs, as you get to the south and west sides of the city, you're not seeing any of that.
312-981-7200. We have Dennis Rodkin and, of course, real estate reporter for Crane Chicago. If you have a question about your neighborhood, if you're considering maybe getting a house or moving or maybe selling your house, you want to know what those trends are in your area, that would be the number to call, 312-981-7200. Chicago, I mean, this is such a vibrant city, and we love the city. We spent a lot of the last few days talking about how awesome it is and everything that's going on. And so you wonder why it isn't a draw. And we hear about companies, big companies relocating here.
Right.
In your opinion, the fact that we actually lost jobs, is it solely related to the dysfunction in the government? You know, you see when other states are doing advertisement, come to Indiana, come to New Jersey. I mean, is that what's kind of holding us back?
I do think that a piece of our lack of recovery is our dysfunctional government. That's something that, I mean, I've had an enormous number of people say that to me for stories over the past year. Is, you know, property taxes are going up in Chicago dramatically. They will almost certainly go up all over the state when our budget issues are resolved. So there's a lot of uncertainty. There are people who are leaving just because they, you know, I cannot find a job here, so I need to move to most often the Southwest, the Sun Belt. Those things are really holding us back. But one thing to keep in mind is you mentioned the moves of big companies. A couple of my colleagues at Cranes did a really good look at that. And what they found is that really what's been happening in the past few years is the headquarters moves in. So it's a small number. It's like the tip of the iceberg for a large company. They don't move.
It's kind of a figurehead you know, situation job-wise. You know, maybe that's where some decisions are made, but most of the work is done elsewhere.
Yeah. And so when you move in a lot of executives, not that it's a bad thing, what that does is it provides more demand in, to get back to residential real estate, provides more demand in the Winnetkas and the Lincoln Parks and things like that. But it doesn't do as much to help the neighborhoods that are still struggling to recover.
Now, are there any neighborhoods particularly that are doing either really, really well or that are struggling? You can look at that a couple different ways. You know, the people there maybe aren't seeing the value in their house rise back to kind of pre-recession levels. But for those people in the market, maybe there's some really good opportunities there.
You know, I'm going to surprise you with this, Dane, because I've already said that everything on the lakefront in the city and also places like Logan Square, just one or two neighborhoods in from the lakefront, those are all doing real well. That's in the city, not in the suburbs. And now I'll drop one on you, Buffalo Grove. Buffalo Grove, oddly enough, Buffalo Grove and Hanover Park are two that keep popping up. I watch the data every week, every month. I've done a couple of stories about those two towns, but real fast sales. Good price increases.
Wow.
Those two towns have done quite well. They're generally sort of middle class towns, and there's a big demand for housing in the $450,000, $750,000 range. But those two towns, I can't fully explain it because I keep calling and talking to people.
As a guy who follows, are you surprised by it? You're like, wait a minute, is this really happening?
They're both really, they're good communities and they're great places to buy, but they're doing better than anything around them. Part of the reason for that is that it is adjacency. It's a little cheaper to live in Buffalo Grove and Hanover Park than in most of their neighbors. So because prices have been rising, if I can't afford what's next door, I move to here. But that's only one piece of the puzzle. Buffalo Grove for a year has been doing really well. As I said, quick sales, properties moving on and off the market very quickly. Prices rising, not crazily as they are in Portland, Oregon, but rising. So those are two spots aside from, I mean, North Center is going nuts. Logan Square, Avondale, all those places in the city that are hip on the north side, they're doing really well.
Now, do you guys have at Cranes like a hip label, like this officially? Hey, you're becoming,
these are the places.
The mayor or the alderman calls up. Are we hip yet?
Are we hip yet?
Yeah. Well, I've always kind of referred to the epicenter of hipness, which is sort of North Avenue and it's sort of how far up Milwaukee it stretches, how far out North Avenue it stretches. Right. But all those places are doing really well, but then so is Buffalo Grove and so is Hanover Park.
Well, when we come back, we're going to take a quick break and we come back more with Dennis Rodkin. We'll talk about some of the essential ingredients that make up for a home or an area that kind of holds its value. I think probably even if you're a little bit further out, as long as you're connected to some of those main arteries to get to almost anywhere, whether it's the train or the expressways, you can do that. So stay tuned to that. And if you've got any questions about your area, 312-981-7200. If you're looking to buy a house and want to know about a certain area, or if you're looking to maybe sell your house and want to know what's going on, you can text in or call in there as well. It's Dane in for Dean Richards on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Dane Neal, All-State Showcase Studio in for Dean Richards today as he is doing official parade duty, multiple floats. So happy to be in for Dean until 1 p.m. And a subject that I think hits pretty much everyone. Everybody lives someplace, at least most of us. And so many people have questions about the real estate market. It has changed so much in the last handful of years and is changing on a regular basis. We get little news blurbs here and there saying this is up or housing starts or this is down. But we are lucky to have Dennis Rodkin in from Crane Chicago to talk a little real estate. And we've got some callers you can add your thoughts to if you've got an area that you are interested in, either one you'd like to move to, one you'd like to move away from, or just a question in general about the markets. You can give us a call at 312-981-7200. And we've got John on the line. You're in Elmhurst, John, right?
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Welcome to the show. What's your question?
Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. And it's great to have Mr. Rodkin on. Mr. Rodkin, I've read your work over the years, and it's wonderful to hear about the real estate market. So in my case, I've got a property in Elmhurst, a single-family home, and I'm probably going to be selling that within the next year. And everything I've been seeing in Elmhurst, they've got so many great projects going on, in the downtown and in some of the other areas. And I'd be interested in your perspective on Elmhurst specifically. Just it seems to hit on every mark. And, you know, with me kind of getting ready to put the house on the market, frankly, I'm interested in your perspective from a personal interest.
You know what I would do? I would go look at some of those new houses and make the interior of yours look as much like them as you can. You're competing with those, right? I don't know how recently yours was updated, but let's just say, I doubt this is true, but let's just say you still have white appliances and all those have stainless steel appliances. You probably want to roll in some stainless steel. But beyond that, you know, wallpaper is in, maybe you pick a room to do that with, or I'm not really sure what's available in those new houses, so I'm pulling that out of my ear. But those are your direct competition, so you look at some that are priced similarly to yours, and you try to look like that, because one of the disadvantages an older property has going up against a new property is its age. And obviously you can't lie, you can't fake it. But if you make it as competitive with those, you know, whatever is missing from your house that is in those, if you can roll it in, you probably maximize your price. Obviously you don't want to spend $80,000, but if you can do it relatively inexpensively, you know, and stage it to look like those, I think you probably have a competitive advantage. Does that work?
That's great news. Yes, it does. And there's a number of checks in those boxes already with stainless steel appliances and so forth. So that's giving me some great confidence. Thanks very much.
Cool. You're welcome.
All right. Thanks, John. Right. And you think about Elmhurst as one of those that has kind of built-in advantages. It is right next to like 3 or 4 expressways.
Great schools.
During the break, we had people text in about Oak Park is another one that's right there. I mean, the proximity to the city is so great. And then we had Jenny was talking about, she dropped off the line, but she had asked about Lake Bluff. So going a little bit north, any thoughts on Lake Bluff?
You know, the thing about Lake Bluff and Lake Forest, which are sort of one market, is a lot of trends don't reach them until pretty late. So the downturn worked its way up the shore slowly, and the upturn is working its way up the shore slowly. There's a lot of inventory on the market up there. It's hard to get something sold. They're selling slower in Lake Forest than in Lake Bluff. But again, they're kind of, you know, siblings. But the other thing is that the Lake Bluff, Lake Forest market is suffering a little bit of a setback with all the jobs that have moved in, all the professional jobs that have moved into the city. If you've got I don't know what the price is of her house, but if you've got a house that the executive level person is going to buy, you're really looking at the pharmaceutical industry. There are a lot of jobs that have moved back down here. And it's also become, while once upon a time it was really fun to commute from here up to the tip of the North Shore.
It was
Lake
really
Bluffs.
Fun?
Well, you know, it was. Let's say it was
I've
easier.
I've never heard it described that way, but well, maybe tolerable, right? Or people accept it.
Yeah, tolerable.
It.
Yeah. And the drive up was not so bad. I keep hearing from real estate agents. In fact, I have a story coming out next week on a topic related to this, that traffic has really affected the Lake Bluff and Lake Forest markets, because people who work in the city or near the city don't want to drive that far anymore because traffic is so much thicker than it used to be.
294, it just makes it almost prohibitive to get up north and south that way, especially during rush hour times.
And there are trains, but that doesn't always, not everybody can commute by train.
And the timing, right? Because you have to be right next to one of the stops. Right. So a little bit earlier, at least closer into town, is Norridge. And we've got a 708 call wants to know, are they getting the bang for the buck in Norridge?
Are they well, I don't know what you mean by bang for the buck in this particular case.
Maybe
but
if
it
there's
is,
opportunities, I guess, to get a good deal.
It's a great bargain value sort of an area because you're still they didn't have quite the level of foreclosure. There were foreclosures in Norridge, but they didn't have the level that, say, Cicero and a few other places did. A lot of that has burned off as far as I know. I don't have the numbers right in front of me today, but I don't think the stock of foreclosures is still there. But you've always done well buying in Norridge, you know, well located, as you've been talking about other places. There was a lot of rehab going on in the boom. And as I understand it, there are some investors doing it again now. So, you do really well over there.
You mentioned Buffalo Grove as one of those surprising areas that's doing well. And a texter from the 847, these kind of are right up against it. Mount Prospect, Arlington Heights, how are they doing?
You know, I think Arlington Heights is probably moving faster than Mount Prospect right now. Arlington Heights is such a hub for the suburbs. I think you saw, Dane, I had a story out last week about how the model suburbs, according to one scholar, the model suburbs in the Chicago area are Evanston and Arlington Heights, because one of the things those two have done is they've built this nice little mini downtown core,
right,
with high-rise buildings right next to the train. This is really important. This goes back to what I was saying about Lake Bluff. If I want to go out for an evening and walk around and have dinner and really enjoy the social spaces, Arlington Heights and Evanston provide that without my having to go all the way downtown. Still have to go downtown for the big cultural events and those kinds of things, but I can get it close to home. And you can't say my house in Arlington Heights is worth a dollar more than my house in Palatine because of that. But you can see that there's a slightly more active market in Arlington Heights and in Evanston than the nearby neighborhoods. Suburbs, and that's probably because people like having that hub they can go to.
You know, you're right. If you can, as a community, be more things to more people and kind of keep people there, whether it's dining, whether it's shopping, whether it's just living, I think you're ahead of the game. And before we go to break, what about Jefferson Park? Danny from the 773, he says, and he wants to know your thoughts, if it's Chicago's best kept secret.
You know, it's not much of a secret anymore. It's on the way. So I said earlier something about Milwaukee Avenue. The pressure has been going all the way up Milwaukee Avenue for a couple of years, really from like the Bucktown Wicker Park area. It's been working its way up through Portage Park, through Irving Park, Avondale, all those. Jefferson Park is on the way. And there's a lot that's happening now. There has been a little bit of controversy about construction and gentrification, but it's got to be the next one. You know, we're all many more people are living in the city and raising kids now. Whether that will be the long-term trend, we don't know. And everybody's looking for housing and generally looking for housing near that zone of hipness, that epicenter of hipness that I said, North Avenue in Milwaukee, right? And so if I can't afford to be all the way down there, then I try Avondale and work my way up. And Jefferson Park is on that path. There has been some improvement, and I think there's going to be more. And it's like the wrapper is coming off the secret. It's still not, you know, generally known. 10 years ago, nobody knew where Avondale was. Now it's one of the hottest parts of the city. I think Jefferson Park is going to be one of those if things continue as they've been going.
And before we go to news, really quick, Portland, you brought it up. A number of people have texted in. What is Portland doing right?
Is the structural things that are different between Portland and Chicago. Portland has different weather, first of all, and is in the West, and those cities have done, especially in the Northwest, have done real well. But one of the big differences between a place like Portland and a place like Chicago is we sort of had an area that just fell apart. Our south and west sides and our south suburbs fell apart. You know, we had an enormous amount of job loss. We had a lot of jobs moving to Mexico, drying up, going away. We've had disinvestment in those areas. And so we've had this enormous stock of foreclosures. We had at one point the biggest overstock, the biggest overhang of foreclosures of any place in America. And even though those, you know, I can still sell my house in Lake Forest when your house in Englewood is sitting in foreclosure, the larger market does all work together. Your house in Englewood does affect my house in Lake Forest. And so we've just had a long time we've needed to recover. And during those years, we've had some political and economic instability. We've had tax increases. and we've had job losses. And so it's not so much what is Portland doing, it's what Chicago either isn't or can't do.
Wow. Okay.
We're going to get there. We are going to recover, and we are recovering. We're just going slowly.
The housing market glass is half full. Dennis Rock and Crane, Chicago. Before we hit news, just give ways people can keep up with you, social media, and keep track of all the things you're doing.
On Twitter, I'm Dennis Rodkin, and my articles are at chicagobusiness.com or cranechicagobusiness.com.